Lamed Ches Amar Aleph. All the way on the top of the page. So we're still talking about this this idea or this that all of the ways that the Kriyin Siv and different things about how you read the Pesukim is Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. By the way, last time Arnon asked the question, how could it be that it's Halacha Moshe B'Sinai if so many of the Pesukim that we're reading are from Nach? So there's a gentleman who listens to our shir from all different places in the world. His name is Daniel Renna. Daniel was in the Congo for a while, and then now he's, I think, situated somewhere else. Then I apologize, I forget where you are now. And Daniel sent me a something. I'll show you what he sent me. The daf Shavua sends out this thing called the daf hachover, like the daf choveres, so different things. So one of the questions they asked is this question. Where does it's like b'lama the daf Shavua chevra. So the Advaz says we have a rule. Right? We've heard this before, probably, that everything that was ever going to be taught ever, Moshe Rabbeinu was taught at Har Sinai. So if that's true, so then all of the Pesukim Tanakh also he was taught at Har Sinai. So there are other answers to that question, but that's at least one answer that's given. Is that okay? You're right, in Echanami. But that was a nice answer, and I thank Daniel for sending that over to me, to us. But there are probably other answers to that question also, but at least that's one that helps us a little bit. So let's start. Three lines from the top of the page. There are those in Eretz Yisrael who split the following pasuk into three pasukim. And that pasuk continues. It's a much longer pasuk. So that pasuk, which we have as one pasuk, so in Eretz Yisrael they would split it into three pasukim. So it just shows that even though we just said that all of the pasukim and how to read them and the Kriyin Ksiv and when you begin and end, etc., is all Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. There are some areas where there is actually still machlokas about it. This is one of them.
There's actually a note right here in the article.
Yeah.
On exactly that question.
The question,
right,
yeah.
Right here. Gemara's examples of words written but not read and read but not written are from prophets from writings, Mavim Ksum, books from long after Moshe's death. How can then Yitzchak claim that they were dictated to Moshe?
Good.
Quotes the Maharal.
Yeah.
Rashi Yisrael explains that while the specific readings were not ordained at Sinai, Moshe was taught as a general tenet that the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, inspired by Ruach HaKodesh, would be transcribed in language proper to a written text, but would be expressed aloud as best conveys a verbal message. Consequently, Scripture could incorporate instances where the correct reading was to deviate slightly from the text. Oh, and here he quotes the Radvaz, Shuvah the Radvaz, and Rabbein Avachya,
yeah, but that is a little different, which that's not the specific Kriyin Ksiv, but the concept of Kriyin Ksiv, right? So that's another answer, right? It wasn't the specific psukim and how they could be read or written, but the concept of Kriyin Ksiv is Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. We're going to see something like that coming up in a bit also. So yeah, good, excellent. Two answers. Great. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Chama, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Lehe'eshir Moshe, Elam Psulasan Shaluchos. Really fascinating and I think kind of strange thing to say is that Moshe Rabbeinu got rich from carving out the Luchos. How do we know that Moshe got rich from carving out the Luchos? Shenemar Psalacha Shenuchos Avnim Karishonim. The Pasuk says that when the second time Moshe is going to get the Torah and he's going to now, this is the third time he goes to Parsinai and he's going to get the second set of luchos, right? So instead of being ma'ase Elohim, right, the luchos, the first ones were made by Hashem, and the second set are made by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So the pasuk says psal lachash in luchos avanim harishonim, which we translate as do it yourself, right? It really means psal lachash really means do to yourself, right, or for yourself or something. It's a different type of language. It's a kind of a strange language. So Chazal make this drasha that psulasan shalchayeh, that whatever was left over from the rock that was dug out, so that was something that Moshe got to keep, and apparently that was had value, and therefore that's how Moshe became rich from the leftovers, sort of from the stones of the luchos. So Amr Yosef Rabbi Chanina lo nitna Torah ella Moshe ulazara. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina says that the Torah was only given to Moshe and his children. which the Mefarshim point out that this whole, we're going to have this conversation now, it's kind of a strange conversation. It's not really, can't really be possible that anyone thinks that, and we're going to see in Machlokas about this, but even Rabbi Chanina can't mean that the Torah was really only meant to be given to Moshe and his children. We know that over and over again the Torah says, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, etc., etc. That Hashem clearly gave the Torah to Moshe to be given to the Jewish people. So we have to explain what that means exactly, that it was given only to him. So we're going to see what that means. But if that concept bothers you, it bothers the Mefarshim also. So we'll see as we move along. Okay, but nevertheless, says Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina, the Torah was given only to Moshe and his children. Shenemar, Ksav Lacha, Psal Lacha. Right, Ma Psulasan Sharcha, Av Ksavan Sharcha. Right, just like the digging out of the Luchos and what was left over belongs to Moshe. So even the writing of the words, it really belongs to Moshe. Moshe Nahag Ba Tovas Ayin V'Nasna Israel. And Moshe was nice, he was generous, and he didn't keep it all only to himself, but rather he gave it also to the Jewish people. V'alavakaz of Omer, Tuv Ayin Hu Yivorach. And that's what the pasuk means when it says, a person who has a good eye will be blessed. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he had a good eye, he was willing to share with Klal Yisrael. So Mesir Rav Chista, attacks this idea. Well, it can't be. Because the pasuk says, "Vosit tziva Hashem ba'isahi l'lamed aschem." The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, and Hashem taught me. Right? He commanded me at that time when he was on the mountain. Moshe is recounting the story of being on Har Sinai, and he taught me these things. Why? To do what? L'lamed aschem, to teach you. Right? So if that's true, then how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu was meant that it really was just for him, and he was nice, and he shared it with us? The pasuk says that I was commanded then to teach it to you. So now you could say it like this: Vositziva v'ani lachem. No, meaning it could be that Hashem commanded me just for myself, but I decided, right? Lila made eschem. I decided to teach it to you. Re'ei lamarti eschem chukim mishpatim gashet zivani Hashem alakai. What about the fact that the pasuk says, "Look, Hashem, I'm teaching you the chukos and mishpatim just like Hashem commanded me," right? No, ositziva v'ani lachem. Maybe you could say the same thing. Look, I'm teaching you the things that Hashem had commanded me, right? Okay. But what about the fact that the pasuk says, "V'ata kisu lachem es hashira hazos"? And what about the fact that Hashem that he says you should write for yourselves this shira, which we assume means, right, writing down the Torah that you're supposed to write it down for yourselves because it's meant for all of you. It's not just meant for Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Look at the Mefarish, where it says "L'lamed aschem," third line down. Alma Hakadosh Baruch Hu tzivah li Yisrael. L'lamed aschem implies that it's to be given to Klal Yisrael. Then here, kisvu lachem, alma shenitna nami lehan Yisrael. And that again implies it was given to them. So answer the Gemara, Hashir Lechuda. No, maybe we say Hashir Lezos, we give a whole drush of it by Hazinu, right? Then we say Hashir Azos, it means the whole Torah. No, maybe Hashir Azos just means right then Hazinu. Hazinu has no, that Shira has no no mitzvahs even, right? So like, there's maybe it just means to write down Hazinu. Fine. Okay, continues. Laman Tieli, Hashir Azos, Le'ed, Bivnei Yisrael. What about the fact that Hashem says that this Shira is going to be an aid on Bnei Yisrael? I mean, he's going to look at the Mefarish, first skinny line. Laman Tieli Laid She Yomadu Kol HaTorah VeYomadu VeLamdu Osa. They should teach them the Torah and they should learn it. Amal Yisrael Nami Nitna. And again, if it's going to be a testimony for Bnei Yisrael, or something for either that it's going to witness Am Yisrael doing what they're supposed to, not doing what they're supposed to, or that Am Yisrael should learn it and they're supposed to keep it. But regardless, it's clearly about the Jewish people. It's not just about Moshe Rabbeinu. So Ella Pilpula Ba'alma. So answers the Gemara. No, okay. So what does this really mean? That what did Rabbi Yossi mean when he said Rabbi Shmuel that like it was given there was something that was given only to Moshe. So only the Pilpula Ba'alma was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That was meant for him to keep it, and he decided to be nice and give it to Klal Yisrael too. What is Pilpula Ba'alma? What does that mean? So take a look at the Mefarish Pilpula Ba'alma. It's like four lines down three lines down in the skinny lines. Pipula ba'ama lahavin davar mitoch davar hu denita la Moshe v'nihek ba tuvas ayin v'nisnali v'nasnali Yisrael. Right, this idea of how to be how to learn in depth, in a way, to learn one thing from the other, etc. So that was something that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was kind and gave that to Klal Yisrael. It's still difficult, because, you know, having davar mitoch davar, to learn how to learn the Torah, that's one of the things we're supposed to do, right? It's part of the mitzvah of limud Torah. It's still a little bit difficult. Like, what does that mean that Pilpul Be'alma was given to Moshe Rabbeinu? And what wasn't supposed to be shared with us? You know, it's even understanding that, I think it's still kind of a challenge. They have an answer in there somewhere in the note, right?
Yeah.
What do they say?
They call it this query of the discussion is now and cannot be understood superficially.
Right. It's not meant to be like that. No, they weren't supposed to be learning. Jews weren't supposed to learn. It can't be. Yeah. But rather.
Do you want me to read this something?
Yeah, read it.
There can never have been any doubt that the Torah was intended for all of Israel. Hashem's revelation at Sinai was directed at the entire people. Legal sections of the Torah commonly begin and speak to the people of Bnei Yisrael.
Right.
Maharsha explains that the Torah's commandments were certainly incumbent upon all of Israel. However, Rav Yossi's statement suggested that the study of the Torah's text and the corollary capacity to rule on Torah law was to be the prerogative of Moshe alone and of his descendants after him. The Gemara therefore proved that the study of the Torah's text was also to be incumbent upon Israel, is implied by the verses, and I quote some psukim,
yeah.
I teach you, behold, I taught you, was it such a thing? Only the methodology of keenest insight was originally imparted to Moshe alone. In quotes, see, Shikim Betzes, Ma'arach, Yushe.
There's some very high level of understanding, I guess. It's still hard. It's still hard, because that's still our job, right? That's one of the highest levels of Talmud Torah, is to learn Torah till you understand it. You know, on a very, very high, deep level. High level, deep level, whatever you like. But that's, you know, part of Limud Torah. So, whatever that means. There's some, like, very deep, you know, insight or something that only Moshe Rabbeinu and his descendants, if that means his children or his Talmidim, would have had certain things that are, like, kept more secret. And instead, Moshe shared that with all the Am Yisrael. So, whatever that means exactly, I think.
Do you read this to be like the capacity to rule, like to pass?
Sak, yeah, could be. Yeah, I'm not questioning the Gemara. I'm just saying I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is I don't totally get what that means. Like, how could there be pieces of learning that were not given to Am Yisrael? You know what I mean? Like, again, you could say like the same with this, like certain elements of Torah, like Sisrei Torah and Kabbalah, which are not meant for the Hamon Am. You know, that there's a certain element like that, right? So, like, just like, I don't, like, I'll talk for myself. I don't know how to learn Kabbalah. I probably won't ever. You know what I mean? Like, that's not, there are certain pieces of Torah that are so deep that most of us are not going to do that. So that I can hear. I'm just saying it. The concept, it's like, it must mean something like that. Which, by the way, in the end, it was given to all of us anyways. But the idea that, like, somehow Hashem was, like, holding back some of the abilities or the idea of learning from Klal Yisrael and instead give to only certain people, I think is like, you know, it's like hard. But I guess maybe it's not so hard because we know that's true, right? There are still certain people who have abilities in learning that others don't have. But again, same thing. I think maybe it bothers me because I always like to feel, and I think it's true, that we believe that we don't believe in like a, you know, whatever you want to call it. Certain people get to do certain things and no one else, we believe in a meritocracy to a certain extent. Someone who works hard enough on learning can achieve, you know, it's not like being a Kohen, right? I can't be a Kohen, fine, I get. I can't be a Levi, I can't, but that, right? But Tam Chacham is something that anybody can be, right? So that's
what. We also say that Moshe Rabbeinu was unique in the sense that he was the only, like,
right, unique in Gavua.
Right, but we call him Rabbeinu for a reason that no
right.
one else could be like.
Right, no one's going to be like him, right?
So perhaps because no one else was.
Yeah, it's not like you can't explain it. I don't know. Maybe it's just like irking me. Because like in learning, we don't say, oh, like, that's not for you. Like that's not our approach, right? Our approach is that learning is for everybody. But yeah, it means some, whatever it means, some esoteric, difficult, very deep, whatever element was supposed to be only for Moshe and people who would, again, same way, Moshe Rabbeinu gives smicha, right? Smicha comes only from Moshe Rabbeinu, only if Moshe puts his hands in your head and then whoever gets it from him can give smicha. That's like, we don't have smicha anymore for that reason. So like, you know, there are certain elements like that are true, that are passed down only in certain ways. So whatever it means, it's something like that, probably in some certain way. Okay, sorry. Not really, we didn't really digress, but you know, we got stuck. Okay, so let's keep going. Okay, Amar Rav Yochanan. Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Masha Shechinaso Ela Agibor VeAshir VeChacham VeAnav. So there's the Hashem only gives basically nevuah to someone who possesses all of these qualities, that they are gibor, they're strong, they're ashir, they're rich, VeChacham, they're wise, VeAnav, they're humble. Lots of drushes about this idea of why would Hashem only, we have to be rich to be a navi, right? So we'll see why that may be, but a lot of this has to do with if you're dependent on other people, then you can be influenced, etc. It's not about the value of being rich versus being poor per se, but if you're going to be a person who's going to be independent, so there might be certain things that are necessary. But okay. So says the Gemara, so you have to be all four of these things. V'kulam mi Moshe, and we learned all these things from Moshe. Gibor, how do we know that Moshe was strong? T'chsev ha'yifros es ha'ohel on la Mishkan, and then Moshe Rabbeinu literally put the ohel, that the ohel refers to the covering of the Mishkan, on the Mishkan. Right, that's very hard. V'amramar Moshe Rabbeinu parsu, right, and Mar says that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was the one who did it. U'chsev aser eser amos erech akeresh, that the Mishkan was 10 amos like long. Ema de arich vekatin, right? The point being, it's very tall and it's very long, and the idea of Moshe doing it all by himself was like very difficult, right? So it must have been very heavy and hard to do such a thing. So it must be that he was very very strong. I mean, that's the only way that could possibly happen. So, and so says Gemara, ema de arich vekatin. Maybe we could argue that he wasn't really so strong, but he was arich v'katin. The fire said, very tall. Tall but weak.
Yes, and shrink.
Yeah, tall but weak. Meaning if he's so tall, he could just drop it on top. Right? If he's like unusually tall, that'd be very, very tall. But right, let's say he's unusually tall, he could just drop it on. And it doesn't have to be so strong. Right, if you ever tried to throw something on top of your sukkah, right, from below, that's much harder than just dropping it on, right? So maybe not a great raya. So ela minadin, min hadin kra. Look, we learn from this pasuk. Tichsev vayis post b'shnei aluchos v'ashlichei me'ashtei adai v'ashabeim ninechem. The pasuk says in Ekev that he took both luchos in his hands and he threw them down and smashed them. Okay, v'tzoat v'tanya haluchos arkan shisha v'rachman shisha v'avyan shlosha. Right, that the luchos we know. Were six long and six wide and three thick. Six what? We assume tvachim, probably. Yeah. Yes, that's what it says. I think so, right?
It says hand breaths.
Hand breaths, that'd be tvachim, yeah. Hand breaths is tvachim, like this. Yeah. Like a fist. Okay, so they're very, so presumably, the point is that stone, they're very heavy, right? And nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to vashlichem, right? He was able to throw them, ashabreim, and I smashed them. He's able to break them. Okay, that goes against the other Gemara that says that when Moshe brought the luchos down, he saw the eagle, his hands got weak, and he dropped them, and right? They smashed. But according to this, he like threw them and he smashed them. So it must be he was very strong. Okay, Ashir, I don't know, he was wealthy. Psalacha, psalasan shalchaye, as we said before. He became wealthy from the leftovers of the luchos of the rock. So that's him that he was rich. Okay. So I'm asked Kasha, if that's true, then he had nevuah before that. And he only gets the rock after. Okay. So but the bottom line is you see from there that he was rich. Okay, fine. Sorry. Chacham, how do I know that Moshe was Chacham? Rav Shmuel, Darman Tavayu, Chamishim Sharei Bina Nirvu Ba'olam. There are 50 gates of understanding that were created for the world. V'kulam nitnu l'Moshe. Chasar Achas. All of them given to Moshe except for one. Shnei Mar V'sach Tachsi Rehu Me'at Me'elukim. Because the Pasuk said that he was left off only a small amount. So Moshe Rabbeinu had 49 of the 50 Shari Bina. So Moshe was smart. And Anav, how do the Moshe? Anav, that's easy. Tichsiv Aisha Moshe Anav Mon. Pasuk says. Moshe was the greatest, the most humble person in the history of the world. Okay. So Amrav Yochanan, Kol HaNeviim Ashir Mihayu Minalan. Okay, so Rav Yochanan says, but how do I know that all of the Neviim were wealthy? How do I know that? So Mi Moshe, Umi Shmuel, Mi Amos, Umi Yonah. So again, even though we just said it before, so Rabbi Yochanan himself wants to now give his own drasha. How he knows that all the Nevi'im were rich. And how do you know from each of these different Nevi'im? Okay. Moshe d'chziv lo chamur achar mehem nasasi. Because Moshe says, when he's complaining about Amish, he says, I never, you know, even took a donkey from anybody. Use anyone's donkey. See, Ibelo igra. Lafuki man deshakabelo igra. I didn't steal it from you. He didn't steal it from anybody. That's such a big tzaddik. He didn't steal someone's donkey. Like, shkoyach. You're the leader of Klal Yisrael. That's not such a big, you know, such a big chiddush. Right? So, Elada, filib igra. No, the point is that he never even had to rent someone else's donkey, even paying them. He never even had to do that. Right? Why? Must be because he was so rich. He had his own donkey. He didn't need to even rent someone else's donkey. Says Gemara, dama mishum da aniyav. What do you mean? Maybe the reason he didn't rent someone's donkey was because he didn't even have the money to rent a donkey. It's not because he was so rich. It was because he was so poor. So, Ella mimsalacha psulas and yeshacha. Fine. No, so, rather, let's go back to our original drasha, which is the psalacha. That's how I know that he was rich. Shmuel dechziv, hinini anu bi negar Hashem, v'negar mishicho, eshor mi lakachti, v'chamor mi lakachti. Right, again, Shmuel makes almost the same statement, saying that he didn't take anyone's shor chamor. So ibachinam, if it means that he didn't steal someone's donkey. Again, by the way, also steal might be like that he like would say like, sorry, we need some of our says we need it for, you know, governmental business. You know, we need to take your I need your car, sir. Right? It's the same thing. Like he could have taken the donkey and said I need it without you know, it wouldn't be stealing, but it would be fine. But ibachinam lafukeman the shakal bechinam. Again, same thing. Well, you didn't take it for free. Shkayach doesn't make such a big tzaddik. El da filo beschar. Right, so maybe he didn't even have to rent. He didn't rent it. He's so rich. But what do you mean? Maybe it's because he was so poor. He couldn't even afford to rent it. So elamei hacha. Try again. Uchuvaso haramaso haramasa kisham beso. Because that when Shmuel would travel around. So he would travel and stay in different places, and then he came back to Rama, which was his Ramasa, which was his home. Kisham beso. But Amarava, that's a simple pshat, that's there, Ramasa, was his house. But Amarava, komakam shahalach beso imo. No, that sham beso, there, meaning wherever he would travel would be his house, meaning he had lots of houses, right? He had multiple properties, and that's how you see that he was very wealthy. Amarava, you know what, let's stop here so we're not rushing. We'll stop here, and we'll continue the conversation about how wealthy they were. Next time.
First version of an RV.